asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be storming today, for the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah." So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive? Do you not remember the five loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the seven loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread?" Just want to pause over there. And this is actually sometimes so comically for me. I can just have this picture of these disciples of Jesus with this big question mark on their faces the whole time. Because Jesus always talks about this thing and they're like, "Okay, we have no clue what's going on here." So this is a typical picture. If you're not sure, that's okay. I mean, we're getting to the point now. And he said to them, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" And this is what I want you to, to just take heart. A question that I'm asking to you guys, to me itself, this is what God has really laid on my heart. "Who do you say I am?" Then Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Now, this is basically the background of tonight's sermon, that I feel that Jesus is asking us, not what other people are saying who I am, not what you have read in some articles or seen through what other people experience, but who do you say I am? And the next slide says basically that that's our dilemma. The Jesus that we serve is sometimes not the real Jesus. We can be in church for many years, and I mean, just as a small testimony, I've known the Lord since I was, I think, 5 years old. I was spirit-filled as well at that age, and I mean, I grew up in the church, really knowing the Lord. And there were times in my life that I realized, hey, but this is not the real Jesus. This is not the Jesus of the Bible that I'm actually serving here. I'm actually making my own theology. And I want us to come back to the scriptures that Jesus is saying that, but who do you say I am? And there's a couple of reasons which I feel that we are surrounded by social networking. And I mean, under it all, like Facebook and all that. But you get some people that are so, I mean, that they are constantly on their phones. And I'm the first one. My wife is the first one to actually say, "Hey, yes, I told you so." We are reading everything and here and there. And we are hearing all these voices from everyone around us who's saying, but this is who you have to think about yourself, and this is who you have to think about Jesus. And there's all this propaganda in the media coming these days. And I mean, this is not a new thing. If Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" there were all those ideas as well. So it's not a new thing. So that was those false doctrines, and that was the leaven of the Pharisees. Those stuff. Leaven is basically yeast. If you make bread, you use yeast. And self-raising flour, Flippy, that's not your fiance's favorite flour. So just want to let you know about that. yeast is actually something that penetrates slowly, and it just penetrates the whole thing through. So, in this sense, I want you guys to realize that we are sitting in a world, we are living in times where it's not just subtly anymore. It's like bombarding us with worldviews of who Jesus is. And I want you to have wisdom, and I want you to have discernment in that sense, so that you can know that, hey, this is not what the Word is saying. This is what the world is saying, who I should think Jesus is. Now, tradition and religion as well. And a lot of us, I mean, some of us, we grew up in church and we've been serving the Lord in a certain way. Now, really, this is something. Tradition and religion can sometimes be worked in a good way. Tradition, I mean, coming to church on a Sunday, there's definitely nothing wrong with that if it's a tradition. But if it's just this thing that you do it, it's nothing, it's dead, it's definitely not the Lord in that. So, and religion is nothing about relationship. That is what Christianity is. It's not a religion. It's about that relationship that we have with Christ. Now, the next one is one that I feel a lot of people in the church today sit with, is the deception about sin. Now, many times, and I'm going to include myself there, that you think of sin not as really you're sinning against God, or you're missing the mark in a big way. That is a definition of sin. A lot of the times we think, it's not that bad. I mean, I know God's grace will cover that. It's not that bad. And we start having this deception of what sin is and the consequences of sin. And I mean, the scripture is clear that says the wages of sin is death. But it says after that, but the gift of God is eternal life. So I just want to let you know, sin is not a thing that's just okay. And I'm not going to, it's fire or brimstone thing, yeah. Just want to let you guys know that, I mean, God is a holy God. And He says in His Word, be holy for I am holy. And it's not just a thing that we can take lightly. It's something that you want to aspire to. Say, God, thank you, I can live in your holiness. And I can follow you, I can be obedient to you. And the next one is disobedience. That sometimes we just almost deliberately disobedient. And all these things just creep into our heart, and it creates a mindset of, you know what, Jesus is not faithful. You know what, Jesus is not kind. He's you can start doubting his character, because how can all these things start? You're still struggling with this thing. And I mean, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy. I'm not going to read it now. But Deuteronomy 2 verse 3. And when I was praying, I felt that this is something that God is saying to us as well. God said to the Israelites, they were in the desert, and they were going around this mountain, almost the mountain area. And he was saying to them, you have been going around this mountain for too long. Turn north. Go on. And there's some people here tonight that you feel stuck in a way. You feel like, I'm not going anywhere. I sit and struggle with a sin in my life. I can't shake this idea. I just cannot enter God's presence with liberty, as the Word says. I feel that there's always this thing just bugging me. And God says, stop going around this mountain. You are focusing on this sin and just going around this thing for too long. Follow me. I will lead you to that. If it's relationships and there's this thing just going on and on and on, there's a cycle. God is challenging you and He's saying, I have the means to say, break free of that. Don't carry around on this thing the whole time. The next one, and Tien, this morning you had a difficult word. I will not even try to pronounce it again, but this is my difficult word. It's called profanity. Now, some people will know what profanity is. And I'm honest with you guys. I've been guilty of the sin of profanity a lot of the times in my life. And it's a thing I think universally in the church. This is, especially in charismatic churches, this is where we miss the mark or drop the ball big time, is in this sin. Now, what profanity is being sacred, being casual with something sacred. Now, in the Old Testament, there was the story of the priest and his two sons. And they went into the temple and they just did a lot of evil stuff. Now, that is being casual. They didn't care of what the law of God was. They just did it for themselves. So, that is profanity. And I'm not saying that we are evil and everything what we have to do. But just in God's presence, that when we are in God's presence and we don't value that and we don't see God, if it's not for your presence, I cannot live. This, I'm dead. I'm really nothing. And if God shares a word with you, if somebody is prophesying over you and saying, I really believe this is what God is saying, and you really don't take note of that, and you're saying, God, thank you, I'm really going to pray about this. Like when you came back from China, those people that even recorded and said, please repeat that, I want to record this. They really value that. So if we're casual about that, about the gift of God that God has placed among us, that we can really bless one another with, if we're just casual about that, that is quite a serious thing. And I want us tonight to actually search our hearts, that we can say, God, forgive me or heal me, that I will not be profane in your presence anymore, that I will value in your presence as something holy and sacred, and not as casual. Okay, I'm moving on. Now, there was a few things that stood out for me, who Jesus really is. Now, a lot of times we can say who Jesus is not, but it's quite difficult sometimes to say who Jesus is. But if we look at Scripture, it's quite clear. And there were just a few things here. It says, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Now, many of you tonight can say Jesus is your Lord and Savior. That it means that you were dead in your sin, and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He made you alive in Him through His blood, with the acceptance of Jesus. Thank you that you died for me, and I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that you are the Son of Christ, the Son of God, and that I can live. Jesus says, I offer that to you guys as a gift. It's grace to you. It's nothing that you can earn. So the gift of God to say Jesus can be your Lord and Savior, it's a gift of grace. So that is the first one. The second one is deliverer. Now, if people hear deliverance, they think it means demons and it means manifestations and all that. It does in a way as well. But there's a lot of things, cycles in your life. Like I said, you've been going around this mountain for too long. God is saying tonight, He wants to deliver. And I can really feel in my heart that God's presence is here tonight, that He wants to set people free from mindsets, from failed relationships, like this thing going on in cycles and cycles, from a mindset that you just cannot break free of. God says He wants to deliver. He wants to set free of a poverty mindset, in a way of just thinking. It doesn't mean financially, but just in the way of, I cannot accept God's grace. I always have to work for this. So Jesus is the deliverer. He's our healer. So tonight, if you're sitting here and you have physical ailments or sickness in your body, Jesus is saying tonight, I want to heal. And we're going to pray afterwards. We're going to pray for people for healing, because I really believe God is going to show His gifts and His presence. It's not just a thing that we sing songs and we read the word. He wants to show people. He wants to really say, this is who I am. I love you, and I'm honestly involved in your life, and I want to show you. So, I mean, for unbeliever, if a miracle happens, that's something you cannot deny. Now, He's a redeemer as well. Now, redeemer means basically if you're guilty and somebody comes and say, don't worry, the price is paid. I've redeemed everything. It's done. Now, in a way, it's a lot. He's our Savior, but redeemer means really, I've redeemed it. It's gone. There's nothing that's against you anymore. You are free. So tonight, if you struggle to actually accept God's grace and to really feel, God, I still feel this unction that I have to work for that every time, and I don't really deserve it. God is saying, I've redeemed you. You are clean. You are clean. Whiter as snow. So He's also our comforter. And I don't know every story, and I mean, of people sitting here tonight. But if you're sitting here tonight and you're feeling in your heart that there are really, it could be a loss of a family member. It could just be something, stuff that has happened this week. Life happens. To follow Jesus doesn't mean you are exempt from all hurt and just anguish in life. Life still happens. And that is where we have to come closer to Jesus and say, God, thank you that you are my comforter. That in this time, as Tien's read, that in your presence, almost like Psalm says, in the pavilion of God, it's in that safe place. We want to say, I know it's tough, but just come close to me. I want to comfort you. I want you to actually just feel my presence, and I want you to renew your strength again. So if you're feeling without strength and you're feeling that, God, I do not have what it takes. I feel really so much pain in my life. I struggle to trust you. I struggle to just say, this is me, and I start dancing in worship. Bring it to God. Jesus wants to be comfort you in that. He's our friend. And friend, I mean not in a casual way, just, hey buddy, how are you? Jesus, like the word says, is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So he wants to be close to you. And I want you to, if I can just maybe have a role in shaping your mindset of who Jesus is in these things, that Jesus is not this guy over there, he's far. Jesus is someone who wants to be close. He's someone who wants to actually commune with you. He's someone who wants to meet with you on a daily, constant basis. He wants to go with you. He wants to partner with you in your business, in your relationships. He wants to be close. And that's what it means, friendship. It means I'm sticking with you, doesn't matter what. So you can know that doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter where you are, Jesus is with you. So remember, he is our friend. Now, he's also a warrior. I'm not going into much detail on that. He's someone, I mean, Jesus is gentle, Jesus is kind and everything. But remember, Jesus is a warrior as well. He's the commander of the heavenlies, of the army of the heavenlies. So he's not just this meek and mild Jesus. And we're sitting in this time of the year where we see more and more of Jesus in a manger, meek and mild Jesus. There's that song, I don't know how it goes, but that's not the Jesus I see in the Bible. That's not the Jesus who stands with a sword in Revelations and sitting on a white horse. That's not the Jesus, the meek and mild Jesus. So that's the mindset that the whole world is with during this time of the year. Jesus is just this soft person there. That's not the Jesus I see in the Bible. So Jesus is fierce. Jesus is a warrior. So, but he loves us in that fierceness, in that warrior heart as well. And he's our king. Now, how amazing is it to have our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Comforter, our Friend, a warrior, but he's our King as well. So we have full access to the King. I mean, if we lived in a kingdom today, you can have access to the throne room and stand before the King and just say, thank you, and I've been in your presence. And I mean, he wants to commune with you, he wants to talk with you, he wants to really find out what's on your heart. So that's just amazing, all the different aspects of the heart of Jesus to be. He's our King as well. That's amazing. Now I want to go to a scripture in Matthew 7. If you can go over there. Judge not that you be not judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And the measure you will use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? Now, I just want to stop over there. Yeah, a lot of times we focus so much on other people. And God is just saying tonight, just do a bit of introspection in your heart. Just bring your heart tonight to God and say, God, I know I'm not perfect. And the easiest way, if you know that you're not perfect, you project it on other people. So I want you to bring that to God tonight. It says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly that the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for a bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give you good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets. And this is also where Jesus, that leaven of the Pharisees, people, we are living in a time where I think we're going to get more and more just full-on attack on the character of Jesus Christ in this time. We are living in I would say, the end times, that there's so much more just attack on things like marriage and just how people understand love and covenant. And that is how we understand Jesus Christ. So, I want you to, this is also a caution that I say tonight. Be aware that this is coming. Beware of false prophets. So, if we're not intimate with Jesus, if we're not staying close in His presence, we are going to get deceived. And this is not a thing I'm prophesying over that. This is just a warning that I'm saying, be aware that we need to be intimate with Jesus. We need to be in His presence. We need to know the real Jesus, because if a false Jesus comes, if someone comes with a false perception of who Jesus is, then we wouldn't know it. I mean, it's like knowing what the real 100 rand bill looks like. And I mean, when the fake comes, you wouldn't even know what it is. So, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by the fruit. So this is a way that we know the real Jesus in the community, in a church, is that you will see fruit. And I mean, fruit manifests in a different way, and I'm going to explain that now. But don't try to look at other things. Look at the fruit in people's lives. If you want to actually recognize if you are serving Jesus Christ of the Bible, the real true Son of God, who Paul said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, these fruit will be in your life. Because he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So by Spirit, if you have the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God in your life, you will bear fruit. And if you are sitting here tonight and you're saying, God, but I feel that there's almost a dryness in my life. I don't feel fruit. I don't feel that there's flourishing happening in my life. Bring it to God, because He wants to bring refreshment. He wants to bring, water into a dry land, into the desert, like it says in, I think it's Isaiah 35. That He says He wants to bring water into the desert so it become a parched land again. So bring that to Him, bring that to Jesus and say, God, I feel fruitless. I feel barren. And it's in a way also, I mean, if there are married women here tonight, I also want to prophesy over that. If you're feeling barren in your womb, if you're feeling, and that's in a physical way, I want to prophesy, I want to really, we're going to pray for that tonight, that we ask God that we will bring healing and fruitfulness in that sense, because I feel that there's such attack on the kingdom of God for a lot of women in the church these days. They struggle to fall pregnant. So I really want to pray for that as well tonight. So physical fruitfulness, but also in the spirit. So if you're sitting here tonight, bring that to God and say, God, I trust you. I trust you for new fruit. This is a new season. And I love just, I mean, looking outside and it's green leaves and it's fresh fruit and everything. And this is almost makes me excited. So I know that, God, you are doing a new thing. You are really just, I mean, bringing freshness and life into our lives. So God is good. He wants us, He said in His word, I mean, I've come to give you life and then more abundantly. So that's a fruit in your life. If you see life happening, there will be fruit. So I'm just going to go on. Yeah, fruits when we know the real Jesus. And I mean, you would probably recognize us from Galatians 5, verse 22. And I'm just gonna name them on the list. It's love. When you have love, I mean, all of these, how many of them are down 9? There's no one on the face of this earth, I believe, that does not want to have these things in their lives. It doesn't want to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, A person that reflects these characteristics in their own lives. No one in this church, I believe, doesn't want to be around that person as well. Because, I mean, you are so drawn to a person that has love in their lives. I mean, you see friendships just blossoming and just flourishing. You see really healthy relationships in church. That is where God's love is. You see joy. And I mean, that's what I love about just coming into church here and just being able to express our joy and to really have liberty and freedom in the presence of God. That it's not a dull, it's not a serious thing. That we can have joy. So I want you all, be careful. The one of the first things the devil wants to steal is your joy. And when he steals your joy, he has a lot of things, because then you start just going and you're backpedaling the whole time. So if you start feeling your joy, your joy going out, you really say, God, I just thank you for being your presence. You say in your presence there's fullness of joy, and I just worship you for that. So joy is such a powerful weapon against the enemy. So a lot of the people these days, I mean, it's a pandemic, depression, and it's just like, this is the absence of God's joy in their lives. And I'm not going to go into the medical condition or all that. There's definitely merit in that. But God wants to say, my joy is there for you. I want you to have it. This fullness of joy in my presence. Peace. And peace doesn't mean, hey, all peace. Let's all just make peace, not war. So we can have peace with God. I mean, by Jesus' blood, we have peace with God, so that God's wrath will not be upon us anymore, but by His blood we are covered and we have peace with God. But we have peace in our hearts that we know that we are saved, that we are redeemed, that we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And we have peace with one another. So if you're sitting here tonight and you don't have peace with a friend, or somebody has offended you and you know that you don't have peace in that, go and sort it out. God wants you to have peace in your life. And also kindness. And I mean, I'm not going to elaborate on that. Us must be kind. And I mean, I'm talking about myself. I'm driving quite a lot on the road. And sometimes these taxis, they are not so kind to you. And there's sometimes three or four that's also not so kind to you at the same time. And the words that come out of my mouth is also not so kind sometimes. So that's also just a representation of what's going on in you. So when you feel, hey, what I'm speaking of other people and it's not kind, then you know, okay, God, I need kindness in my life. So this is a challenge for me. So I will pray for myself as well. Then goodness, faithfulness. I mean, relationships, in marriage, to be faithful. That is a core ingredient. That's a core characteristics in life. And that is the characteristics of Jesus in our lives. He's faithful. He will never leave you. I mean, there's a scripture in Psalms that says, even if my parents forsake me, I will never forsake you. That means God is faithful. He will never, never, never forsake you. So, I mean, He's gentle. And gentle doesn't mean like that meek and mild gentle. Gentle means He's this massive, powerful king warrior, but He's gentle. He's the one that comes and sits with you on the opitrapi, and He's just like, well, are you okay? Are you fine? Let's talk about this. So Jesus wants to tonight actually hear your heart. He wants you to actually come to Him and just say, I struggle to just come to you freely, but I just want to, this is who I am. This is my heart. I just want to let it out. So if you're sitting here tonight and you feel, hey, but others, I don't have this or that in my life. We're going to pray after this, and we're going to trust God for fruit. We're going to trust God for fruitfulness in our lives, because what the world wants to see, and the world waits in desperation for like it says in Romans, the world waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. And the way they're going to see that is by our fruit. They're going to see this. They're going to see love. They're going to see joy. They're going to see peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then self-control. Self-control means, I mean, you know that you have the power of God in your life, but you know that I'm not just slashing everyone with the Bible, and I have self-control in what I'm doing. But it means self-control in obedience, in sin as well. When you are tempted and you're saying, God, I know that you are faithful, you go on God's other characteristics and say, God, thank you that you're good. And just start worshiping for that. That builds that self-control, and that's character building. That's just a part. I mean, if you don't have a lot of self-control tonight, trust God for that. And this is what the world wants to see. The world doesn't want to see just religion and someone wearing a cross or someone just walking with the Bible. They want to see real Jesus. And this is what the world is waiting for the real Jesus to be revealed. And Jesus is using us as his body. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. So this is what the world wants to see. Now, this is a... No, just turn to the next page. And this is... When I got the scripture, my wife said to me, please say this with gentleness. This is quite a harsh word, but I want to put it out there. It says in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? Now this, if you just hold there, this seems to be guys that's in the church, and they are like going for it. They like, I mean, you see demons flying, you see people being healed, you see miracles happening, and many people will think, hey, but that guy's on fire for Jesus. And this is a lot of times in my life where I felt, hey, but yes, I'm that guy. But then the most important part, the verse after that says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, sometimes I felt that how can they do those works of miracles, but actually God says, I never knew you. And that word knew means intimately knew. That means like a husband and a wife on the marriage bed, they know each other. It's intimacy. And that is what God is desiring from us. It's not just that you do miracles. He doesn't care about the miracles. He doesn't care about all these mighty works happening. He's caring about you. He's caring about Clinton. I want your heart. I want to know you. I want to actually just feel that you feel my heartbeat. I want to be intimate with you. And I mean, that's in our quiet times. That is in worship. Those are the things that we build us in that intimacy with Jesus, so that we don't just go on and just with this religion. And you can sit here tonight and feel, ah, yeah, whatever. I mean, I know of all the stuff. I've listened to this. But I really feel that there's intimacy lacking at the moment in the church, where in our quiet times, where we just go through scriptures in just a random way, and we just say, okay, yes, I've done it, and we go on with life. God is sending his invitation to you. He's desiring your heart. He's wanting to be intimate with you. So if you desire to be intimate with God, he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He's faithful. So he's not one that if you draw near to him, he'll say, sorry, it's too late for you guys. Now, this is the part of grace that I brought in the scripture. And I want to say, yeah, there is hope. Isaiah 55 verse 6 to 8 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And I want to read it again. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him. God's desire is to have compassion on you. But it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. People, there will be a day where, unfortunately, that window will be closed. The day of judgment. Where we're going to say, shucks, but I still wanted to make this right. I still wanted to sort that thing out in my life. But I was just enjoying my life too much. There were just so many things I just wanted to sort out. But God says, seek me while I can be found and call upon me while I'm still near. And he says, let the wicked forsake his way. If there are ways in your life that you know that God has been pressing on you for a long time, and you know that. I mean, I'm not going to have to tell you, hey, that it's that thing or so. You know what I'm talking about. God is saying, that big elephant in the room, I want you to sort it out. Bring it to me. Don't just go on and say, but one day, when I'm married or when I have children or when I'm old, then I will sort it out. I'm too comfortable with this thing. I'm too comfortable just going around this mountain and it's just this cycle and cycle. If those relationships just keep on just that same cycle the whole time, and God is saying, what are you doing? Sort that thing out. Bring it to me. God is saying that grace is there. But the time will come where I believe that God is saying, sorry, it's going to be too late. So the time is now. It's available still. So I want you guys to have that sense of urgency. Sort it out tonight. Come and stand before the Lord and say, God, this is me. This is who I am. So I want to really... I want to make an altar call now, and if the band can come up and play the heart of worship, that's what I feel as a church that we must really get back to, is that what is really all about Jesus, and it sounds so cliche, it sounds this nice thing that it's this nice song, but if you're standing here tonight and you're saying, but altars, I don't have those fruits in my life. I don't have a heart for worship. I don't have a heart for the presence of the Lord. I don't have that love for intimacy with Christ. And I desire that. And if you feel dry, you feel you're in a desert place, but you know that there is fruit, that God says, I want you to have fruit in your life. If you're sitting here tonight and you desire that, I want you, as the band just plays, just come and stand in front and some facilitators, and we're going to pray with you. We're going to trust with you for fruitfulness, that the world will see the real Jesus. Everybody can close your eyes. I'm just going to pray something as well. Father, we desire to see the real Jesus tonight, Lord. We desire to see who you really are. Not what the world, not what the news, not what the church in the history just said to us, this is what Jesus is. We want to see the real Jesus that's in the Word. And Father, I just pray in my heart that you will come and reveal your Son to us by your Holy Spirit. His powerful love, his fierceness, being a warrior, being a king, but also being a friend, but also being a redeemer, being our Savior, being our Lord. And God, I pray for us as a congregation tonight, Lord. I pray that, Father, we bring our hearts to you tonight, Lord. And we want to desire more of you. We want to desire to really, really meet with you every single day. God, forgive us, Lord, of letting false mindsets or doctrines in our lives, Lord, and just letting that go on for too long. Forgive us, Lord, of letting our sins in our life rule us, and that we let them master us, Lord, and not bring them to you. Father, forgive us of not trusting you with that intimate parts or hurts in our lives that we've been dragging on for years and years, and we just struggle to actually trust you with that. Forgive us of doubting your character. Forgive us of believing a lie. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that I pray for truth in our lives. I pray, Father, for a desire for your word, for us as a church, Lord. I pray for a desire to eat your word, Lord, on a daily basis, Lord. It's like this is our food, this is our nourishment, Lord. This is streams of living water in our lives. We cannot go without this. God, I pray for our quiet times. And I want to speak a blessing over this church now. In our quiet times, as we spend time with God every day, in the mornings or in the evenings or whenever, that we really meet with you in your presence. God, we desire your presence. Without that, we are dead. Without that, there's no reason for living. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you tonight, Lord, that you came and redeemed us, Lord. You came and saved us by your precious blood. Lord, we thank you. It's a gift of God. It's a gift that you gave to us. And there's nothing that we can do that we can earn it. And we praise you. We thank you that you wiped all the requirements of the law that was against us. You wiped it out and said, it is finished. Lord, I'm just thinking of you hanging on the cross. And you are in anguish. And the whole of the sin of the world and the sickness of the world is upon you. And the people are beating you. The soldiers are beating you. And they are spitting on you. And they are putting a spear into your side. But Lord, while all this is happening, you look down on those Roman soldiers and you're saying, Father, give them, for they do not know what they are doing. And God, this is your heart. Lord Jesus, this is your heart. Even if we are, slap you in the face, even if we turn our backs on you, you will never stop having compassion for us. You will never stop having the love and the fierceness of your love for us. And I pray, God, for this church, Lord, that the world, that Cape Town will see who Jesus is by what you are doing here tonight, Lord. By the real Jesus being revealed here tonight. God, the world is not looking for fake Jesus. It's not looking for religion. It's not just looking for a nice show. It's looking for real Jesus, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name that in our workplace, in our families, that you will help us to bring that. That we are the hands and feet of Jesus in this city, in this community, in this country, Lord. We thank you for placing us in this place, Lord. Yeah, and if you have, as our eyes are closed, if you feel tonight that you desire more of God's presence, that you struggle to actually just read His Word and just have a passion for Him and His kingdom, and you want more, if you desire more of God, if you desire more of that living water which He says He's giving to you, and that life, I want you to come to the front. I want you to actually, you can all stand, and I want you to just say, God, this is me. I'm coming to you just as I am. I'm full of sin, and I want you to just take me. And God is saying, I want to take you just as you are. If you have sickness in your life, doesn't matter what, God is extending that invitation, saying, come forward. We want to pray with you. If you feel that you're just trusting God for a miracle in your life to happen, for fruit in your physical body, God is saying, come forward. We want to pray. So as the band is worshiping, if you want to come forward, we want to pray for you. And facilitators, please come also.